You can also add lint from the dryer for extra fibers. Blend this mixture until it becomes soupy and even. You have just made paper pulp. Pour this pulp carefully over a piece of fine nylon screen, which can be purchased at any craft store. You could also use a piece of loosely woven fabric, such as cheesecloth, which is held taut in a frame. After the water has drained away, cover the new paper with a second screen or cheesecloth. Press this with a dry sponge to soak out as much water as possible. Finally, remove the new sheet of paper and set it out to dry. This moment of science comes from Indiana University with production support from the Office of the Provost. Today's program was prepared by Eric Sonstrom with help from Flynn Picardle in the School of Public and Environmental Affairs. I'm Yael Cassander.
In sports, once again, Chicago has lost out on the bid for the 2016 Summer Olympic Games. Rio de Janeiro will be the host city. Chicago was eliminated in the first round of International Olympic Committee voting earlier this morning. Thousands of people who gathered downtown to watch the vote on huge TV screens stood in stunned silence at the news, then began falling out of Daley Plaza. Illinois hosts Penn State and Northwestern is at Purdue on tomorrow's Big Ten schedule. Northern Illinois is home to face Western Michigan. Southern will visit Western Illinois, and ISU is at North Dakota State. Meanwhile, Eastern Illinois will be home against Eastern Kentucky. That rounds out the football schedule for college football in Illinois. Again, the Illinois-Penn State game begins at 2:30 at Memorial Stadium tomorrow. Adam Wainwright of the St. Louis Cardinals goes for a milestone tonight in the opener of a three-game series with the Milwaukee Brewers at Busch Stadium. He'll be trying to become the first 20-game winner in the first major leagues this season. 2 years ago, the Cubs and Arizona Diamondbacks were playoff opponents. Today, they're also Rams, beginning their final series of the season at Wrigley Field. The White Sox open a weekend series in Detroit tonight. The Tigers are two games up on the Minnesota Twins in the AL Central race, with three games remaining for each team. Kyle Bowler will make his first start for the St. Louis Rams Sunday as Mark Bulger rests his injured shoulders. Coach Steve Spagnuolo said today that if Bulger dresses for the game, it will be as the third quarterback. Technically, Bulger is listed as questionable. The winless Rams will play NFS rival San Francisco. The Rams will try to end a 13-game losing streak, the longest in the NFL. That's a look at sports.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, designer of the Busey Bank main branch renovation, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
.243 Central Time and 57 degrees. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert, sitting in for Celeste Quinn. The government has updated the GI Bill and will now help a quarter million veterans pay for college. Some will be turning up at Veterans Administration offices to get their checks today. Checks were supposed to have arrived by now, but the VA failed to process all the applications quickly enough to meet the deadline. Allison St. John of member station KPBS has more from the campus of San Diego State University.
More than 300 veterans have enrolled in classes this semester at San Diego State University under the new GI Bill. Nathaniel Donnelly of the new Vet Center on campus is helping at an ice cream social to raise awareness of the Student Veterans Organization.
Ice cream, free ice cream. Come get your free ice cream.
Would you like some ice cream?
Get some ice cream.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Donnelly says SDSU has bent over backwards to accommodate veterans under the new GI Bill, and there are more vets on campus than ever this year. He says the new bill offers more generous allowances for living expenses and books.
The new GI Bill is very significant in that it really tries to emulate the original GI Bill. You know, that was signed into law by FDR in 1944, and basically the motive behind that was you don't have to work, concentrate on school, get an education.
But Donnelly says the students who began the semester a month ago are having a hard time concentrating on school right now because none of them has received their money from the VA.
We have had instances of veterans coming, they're thinking, okay, I've been accepted, I'm getting 100% of the GI Bill, this is how much I'm going to receive, I'm going to quit my job, concentrate on school. So now that the payments are delayed, you know, they're not getting the rent paid. They don't have money for food.
San Diego Congressman Bob Filner, chair of the House Veterans Committee, is angry about the backlog.
The problem is not money. The problem is bureaucracy. The Veterans Administration has not processed these claims quickly enough. We gave them authority to hire people to take care of this. And for some reason that only bureaucrats can understand, they didn't get the checks out on time.
Keith Wilson, Director of Education Services for the VA, says the agency did take action when it turned out their computer system wasn't up to the task of processing all the claims.
We hired 230 additional people in May. We also implemented a mandatory overtime policy. We realize that we haven't met everybody's expectations, but obviously we're not going to stop working until we do that.
Wilson says of 250,000 veterans enrolled in college under the bill, about 34,000 have not yet received their first month's living allowance. As a stopgap, Wilson says, they can apply on the web and get an emergency check of up to $3,000 within a week. Or they can go down to the nearest VA office today and pick up their check in person.
We have sprinkles and whipped cream, too.
Andrew Campbell is a Navy vet studying engineering at SDSU. He jokes he's down at their free ice cream social because he can't afford to buy lunch. He's one of those who'll be in line at the VA's office this morning.
They're going to pay you when they get around to it, but creditors and rent doesn't really accept IOUs, so I needed to pay bills. I got to go down, stand in line with the rest of the people.
But Campbell says he's glad to be signed up under the new GI Bill because the benefits, once he gets them, are generous. Nathaniel Donnelly of the Vet Center on campus agrees.
Once it all gets sorted out, it's going to be a great thing. You know, it is a really good bill. Eventually, it'll be smooth, and we can't wait for that to happen.
Donnelly says he hopes the VA will have caught up by the time next month's checks are due. For NPR News, I'm Allison St. John in San Diego.
As kids, many of us come to see snakes as frightening, evil creatures. In some places, the ingrained fear has taken a toll on the snake population. Karen Kelly met up with some folks who are trying to improve one snake's image before it disappears.
George Sheffield drives his truck along the dirt path that leads to his family vacation cottage. He keeps an eye out for long, black snakes.
This might actually be a good day to see a snake because it was pretty cold last night. And they'll be looking for sun today, trying to get themselves heated back up. So if we find a nice sunny spot, we might find one.
Sheffield's land is one of the few places where black rat snakes still thrive in Ontario. They're a threatened species here, partly because people have moved into their habitat, but also because they're often 6 feet long, so people get scared and kill them. The black rat snake is the longest snake in Canada. It's not poisonous, but it's a constrictor that eats small animals. Once we're at Sheffield's camp, he checks out one of the snake's favorite spots, the roof of his cottage.
The one time that there were three or four out on the roof, and then portions of others with their heads, just their heads or tails, sticking out of those soffits. So they do inhabit the cottage.
Sheffield is one of a growing number of landowners who are trying to protect the black rat snake. They're putting nesting boxes in fields and wooded areas to give the snakes a warm and safe place to spend the winter. But the biggest challenge is just convincing people not to kill them.
You want to hold the snake? You want to put your hands out?
Feel kind of like rubber.
Toby Kiesewalter is a biologist at Murphy's Point Provincial Park in southeastern Ontario. It's used by as many as 500 black rat snakes, as well as a lot of campers, swimmers, and boaters. It's a perfect chance to teach people about the snake. So every day, Kiesewalter takes a rat snake out of a cage in the visitor's center and tries to persuade people to leave them alone.
I hear about it all the time, people coming to our programs and telling us about how, you know, their dad has killed snakes before or that sort of thing. Especially kids are not afraid to tell us these sort of things. So, you know, the loss in an area of even one mature adult can really cause a bit of a dip in the population, because we know that rat snakes up this far north are only reproducing every couple of years.
There's a lot of effort to help this snake. Culverts are dug under highways to give them a safe route back and forth. There are road signs that say, please break for snakes. There's even an adopt-a-snake program. But the fact is, the black rat snake isn't in danger in other parts of North America. So why save it here? For George Sheffield, the answer is simple.
I grew up with them here. I think it'd be a shame if man's activities caused the end of another species in another area. We've already done away too much to degrade the environment and the number of species. So anything anybody can do is good.
For the Environment Report, I'm Karen Kelly.
It's not quite true that all good things come to an end. In the world of books and movies, there is always a sequel. And so it is that a new version of one of the most beloved children's classics is being released next week. Return to the Hundred Acre Wood is the first authorized sequel to the story Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne. As NPR's Lynn Neary reports, it sticks pretty close to the original in both tone and style.
Winnie the Pooh may be the most famous character in A.A. Milne's story, but everyone has their own personal favorite. There's Perky Piglet, Fussy Rabbit, and Gloomy Eeyore. Six-year-old Catherine Crocker's favorite is the hyperactive kangaroo named Roo.
Roo was cute, and he had a friend, Tigger, and his personality is kind of cute because, he hops a lot and squeaks.
These days, a lot of kids have formed their idea of Winnie the Pooh and his friends from the numerous Disney videos based on the characters. But Catherine Crocker grew up listening to the original A.A. Milne stories.
When Piglet had finished jumping, he wiped his paws on his front and said, "What shall we do now?"
And Pooh said, "Let's go and see Kangaroo and Roo and Tigger."
And Piglet said, "Yes, let's." Because he was still a little anxious about Tigger, who was a very bouncy animal with a way of saying how do you do, which always left your ears full of sand.
In the last A.A. Milne story, published in 1928, Christopher Robin was growing up and leaving his friends in the Hundred Acre Wood behind. But now he's back, a little older, but otherwise not much changed. And just as the last book ended with a party, so the new one begins with a party to celebrate Christopher Robin's return.
Winnie the Pooh gave Christopher Robin a bear hug and said, "Welcome home, Christopher Robin." Kanga said, "You must cut the cake, Christopher Robin." "And make a wish," added Tigger, hopping from foot to foot, which is complicated when you have four.
A sneak peek of the first chapter of the sequel, Return to the Hundred Acre Wood, reveals few changes in the world of Winnie the Pooh, and that pleases young Catherine Crocker.
Because it has the same characters, and it has Christopher Robin, and it has the Hundred Acre Wood, and it has usually the honeypots.
The writer who has taken on the task of recreating the Hundred Acre Wood and all its inhabitants is David Benedictus, who says he tried to enter the mind of A.A. Milne in order to find his voice.
Well, it seemed to me it was a bit like acting, really. What I had to do was imagine myself to be Milne, and the best way to do that was to visit the Ashdown Forest, which was where he lived and was the basis of the Hundred Acre Wood, and to read everything I could both by and about him. When I'd read all that, I began to feel that I could become him.
But Benedictus was not entirely alone in making this sequel. Illustrator Mark Burgess has recreated the look of the original artwork, which was drawn by E.H. Shepherd. And Benedictus also had input from both the trustees of Pooh Properties and the publishers, both here and in Britain.
With something like Milne, I think everyone knows the stories so well that there was quite a lot of pressure from people who wanted to have their finger in the pie. I had to be very mature and very tolerant, and those are not my usual qualities. I'm a bit of an indiscreet sort of person, so I had to be extremely political. I think I'm ready for the Senate now.
Benedictus says one decision that involved some wrangling was the creation of a new character. Benedictus was determined there should be one, though his first concept was not well received.
I had begun the idea of having a grass snake, but there were those who thought that a grass snake would be too scary for children. So I kept the characteristics of the grass snake, but the new character became Lottie the otter. And she's a bit of a snob, and she's a bit catty too. I wouldn't want to get into a slanging match with Lottie much, but that was important because I did want a new character with a bit of oomph.
The trustees and the publishers didn't want the characters to stray too much from the original, and Benedictus said he did feel an obligation to be faithful to Milne's creation. Philip Nell, a professor of children's literature at Kansas State University, says from what he could glean from the first chapter, they may have played it too safe.
It's almost like reading someone else's memory of A.A. Milne and E.H. Shepherd. And it's a pleasant memory, but why wouldn't you just reread the original? It's not like they've disappeared.
The result, says Nell, is that the book feels like an imitation, which may be exactly what they intended.
They've got the characters down. Pooh is ruled by his tummy. Piglet's timid. Eeyore tends to be sarcastic and depressed. I mean, they understand the characters. David Benedictus has got it down. The imitation Shepherd illustrations look like Shepherd, so that makes sense that it would, and it makes sense that the estate would authorize people to create this imitation, which would be pleasing to fans of the original. After all, I mean, you want to sell the books, right?
Author David Benedictus says he expects some negative reaction, especially from those who feel no one should tread upon the sacred woods that Milne made famous.
It's like if you're a conductor and you decide to do a new version of Beethoven's Ninth, and people may not like it, but the score is still there for other people. And so if the worst comes to the worst and everyone thinks I've got it entirely wrong, I won't have destroyed the originals in any way at all.
Does this feel like your book?
Yes, it does. It certainly does after all these years. But I think I share it with Milne, and I couldn't have written it without Milne having set the scene for me and created the characters for me. But yes, I feel like he's a sort of, I don't know, an old uncle sitting in the background, either smiling or frowning at my efforts a little bit.
A.A. Milne wrote 20 Winnie the Pooh stories. Benedictus has now added another 10. Who knows how many more there will be before the tale of Christopher Robin and his friends really, truly comes to an end. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
WILL programming is made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, featuring locally grown and organic produce, freshly baked breads, a coffee bar, and bulk foods department. Strawberry Fields also offers natural vitamins, health and beauty products, household cleaning products, pet foods, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating.
Earth and Sky.
Professor Matt Wilson at MIT studies rats' brains to learn about the process of human memory. Wilson is interested in a brain structure called the hippocampus.
This is a structure that we know is critical for forming and retrieving memories, both in rodents and in humans.
In Wilson's experiments, he implants very fine electrode wires into the rat's brain in order to watch and listen to activity in the hippocampus.
The idea is that memories ultimately are expressed in the brain as patterns of activity across these neurons. We can sort of tune in our audio monitors to the electrical activity, and they just sound like a little ch-ch-ch. That's it.
Wilson found that while rats were in repose, their brains were actively recalling previous experiences. Wilson said memory seems to be composed of short segments compressed into fractions of seconds and replayed.
Our past and somewhat recent experiments looking at these phenomena that we refer to as memory replay events tell us that the hippocampus continues to work on memory. And so the question becomes, what is it working on?
Wilson said answering this question could help us better understand human intelligence and solve